Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You know, on that protest movement, that nascent Occupy Wall Street protest movement, Arun Venugopal was saying to me as he walked out the door here, at first they laughed at the Tea Party, too. So is this going to become that? We don't know, but that's among the topics we'll talk about with our next guest as the week begins with new energy behind the movement to draft Chris Christie to run for president and a possible government shutdown by the end of this week over the politics of Hurricane Irene, of all things. The issue there is whether to cut funding to alternative energy programs to pay for the emergency hurricane relief that's coming to the tri-state area and elsewhere that the storm hit. Maybe Governor Christie just needs to yell at Congress to get the hell off the beach.
Get the hell off the beach.
And everything will get unstuck. But let's see what's happening with New York Times Washington correspondent Jackie Combs and Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Good morning.
Before we get to Chris Christie, let me make the segue from our previous segment. I don't know if you heard the end of it about the Wall Street protests here in New York over the weekend and that there are some solidarity protests with it springing up in L.A. and some other cities. Do either of you have a sense that this is resonating at all in Washington? Is anyone afraid that American austerity programs might lead to the kind of street problems we're seeing in London or in Greece?
I've heard some of that, but I've heard it in this context. A couple people in, you know, political consultants have said to me, including Democrats, that if the president wasn't an African-American Democrat, that we would see more protests in the street. But because he is that description, many of the people who would otherwise be in the streets are still giving him, you know, the benefit of the doubt, particularly as they see him thwarted at every turn, or Republicans trying at every turn to thwart his agenda.
We'll get to ask Melissa Harris-Perry that question. She'll be our next guest later in the hour. Interesting that you frame it in terms of African-American protesters among those who may be holding back. Karen Tumulty, do you see it any differently?
Well, I do think that there is a sort of rage out in the country over just the fact that, you know, people are suffering so much, and they do look at Wall Street. And as James Carville noted in his now famous memo to the president, you know, people do wonder why nobody's gone to jail.
Why nobody from Wall Street has gone to jail. Not the protesters who may go to jail before the old head of Merrill Lynch or whoever. All right, Chris Christie. And of all people, Nancy Reagan seems to be in the middle of it, inviting him to give a speech at the Reagan Library. And then he has a national fundraising tour of some kind coming up. Karen, what's happening?
Well, I think that this has been kind of this continuing part of the storyline in this campaign. The Republican Party is always looking for a white knight, and as Rick Perry is discovering, the minute you arrive on the scene and declare that you're a candidate, you cease to be the white knight.
Right.
So, Chris Christie has, this seems to be a dream of his supporters, but I have yet to see any real evidence that Chris Christie is leaning that way.
And just to remind people how certain he has been about this, and he is a man who is known to speak in, you know, get the hell off the beach certain terms, here is Chris Christie from June of this year.
I don't believe this is 100% closed to you, and I don't think you could look me in the eye, given everything that's going on, and say, Piers, I'm 100% certain I'm not going to run. Can you?
You're wrong. I'm 100% certain I'm not going to run.
Chris Christie with Piers Morgan on CNN. So Jackie Combs from The New York Times. How do you walk back from language like that?
Well, typically you don't. And I think Karen's right. I mean, if anything, what's happened to Rick Perry since his late entry into the Republicans' nominating race is a cautionary tale for Chris Christie. You know, one could argue, well, certainly Chris Christie wouldn't stumble as much and as often as Rick Perry has, but you know we don't know that. And it is really, people who haven't done it cannot imagine just what a humongous task it is to run for president, both on your personal stamina and just setting, it's like setting up a small corporation.
We'll talk in a minute about the possible government shutdown this week over how to pay for hurricane relief. Ironically, Jackie, do you think Christie's strong performance during Hurricane Irene, and we had Democrats who don't like his policies very much in general calling up to say what a good job he was doing, do you think that has anything to do with this new draft, or is it just Rick Perry's weak performance in the recent debates and straw polls, and anything having to do with the hurricane is just local?
I think it's both. You know, Chris Christie's in a state, New Jersey, that doesn't have its own major media outlets, but he's in the Philadelphia and New York City market, so he does get more exposure than your average governor does out of that. And Republicans are, you know, looking for a strong candidate. So I think he's gotten, you know, mileage out of all those things. But it just underscores how dissatisfied Republicans are with their field as it stands. And this is, you know, not by British standards or any other countries. This is very late in the game for us, even though it's 14 months from the election. So I just think that, I see this every 4 years, it seems, that the party that's trying to take back the White House is unhappy with their candidates, but this time it's really striking.
Karen, what would you add?
Well, I think that Chris Christie's appeal sort of predates the hurricane. I think it is it's his manner which has made him a real sensation in the party, and not to mention on YouTube, all those confrontations with public school teachers.
Right.
And the reason, I think, in part, because you look at this field and you've got, you know, governors and House members, and it's not a field that on paper really looks all that weak. But I think that Republicans feel as though there is this opportunity here to beat a weakened incumbent president, and they are just scared that they're going to blow it.
Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Jackie Combs, national correspondent for The New York Times. And let's turn to the possible government shutdown by the end of the week. And people must be rolling their eyes thinking, here we go again. I didn't even know this one was coming up. Washington is crashing now, if you haven't heard this yet, toward its third polarized budget deadline in the last year. But the other times were over the contentious issues of the debt ceiling and the Bush tax cuts. This unexpected showdown comes over something both parties are actually for, which is FEMA helping those of you who got clocked by the hurricanes, winds, and floods. So here's some of the rhetoric on both sides from over the weekend. We will hear back-to-back Republican Senator Lamar Alexander and Democratic Senator Mark Warner. Republican Alexander first.
Everybody knows we're going to pay for every single penny of disaster aid that the president declares and that FEMA certifies. And the House sent over a bill that does that, and the Senate should have approved it. What it did was take $1.5 billion of unobligated funds and say, we're going to, instead of adding to the debt, we're going to not add to the debt when we do this.
And the Senate is saying, and I we're going to be back on Monday, why should we, in effect, rebuild schools in Iraq on the credit card, but expect that rebuilding schools in Joplin, Missouri at this moment in time have to be paid for in a way that's never been in any of the previous disaster assistance that we've put out before.
Senator Lamar Alexander, Senator Mark Warner speaking on CNN's State of the Union. So, Karen Tumulty, what gives?
Well, the only thing I can figure is that, you know, Congress is trying to figure out whether there is actually a way to drive its approval rating into the single digits. They are at something like 12 or 13% public approval, and which is an absolute historic low. And this is exactly the reason that people like Bill McInturf, the well-respected Republican pollster, are just warning these guys. You know, you have no sense of how outrage the public is when they see these kind of games.
Yeah, and Jackie, your colleague Robert Payer at the Times has a front page story today about how people entitled to FEMA money, that's a lot of our listeners around here who got hit hard by the hurricane, A lot of those folks are getting fed up with Washington bickering over even this. So is the money, which everyone on both sides, except maybe Ron Paul, agree should be spent one way or the other, is the money being delayed in reaching the victims?
Well, it will be if it's not resolved this week. And you have to say that in the clips you just played, Senator Mark Warner and his fellow Democrats have the better of the argument, it's clear. Excuse me.
That's an editorial.
This line of you know, we've for 10, 11 years been borrowing money for our operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and building roads and schools, et cetera, and yet we'll, you know, have a confrontation over aid to our own cities and towns that were just so hurt by these hurricanes and tornadoes. It's just, you know, it's a...
Right. It's a talking point. But, Karen, even though the Iraq War was almost entirely paid for through borrowing, they never actually put it in the budget and instituted a pay-as-you-go program for it. Democrats say they're for pay-as-you-go, and House Republicans who want to cut money from other things, mostly alternative energy programs, can stand up and say, well, okay, yeah, you know, we don't even like that the money was borrowed for Iraq, but here we are now with this $14 trillion of debt, and we just can't operate that way anymore. That may resonate, too, out there.
You know, I don't think so. I think most people... I think people understand the difference between true emergencies that have to be dealt with and, you know, these longer-term problems with the debt and the deficit. And I don't think that most Americans are going to, you know, worry about this, you know, relatively small amount of money when, you know, these guys can't, you know, there's a lot of pessimism about this so-called super committee that's supposed to really be dealing with the bigger problem.
Right. And when you say small amount of money, am I right that this is only over how to pay for $7 billion in hurricane and other relief, which may seem like a lot of money to you or me, but it hardly seems like the stuff of a federal government shutdown when it's a trillions of dollars budget. Is that really what this is over, just $7 billion in FEMA money?
Well, they've reduced it to about half of that now under the pressure from Republicans, which would just mean down the line they'd have to come back for more, assuming there'll be, you know, additional disasters, as there always are. What's interesting about this is that Senator Mark Warner was right. This is not the way disaster aid has been handled in the past, and sometimes it should have. Karen and I have covered Washington a long time and covered Congress specifically back in the days when an emergency was an excuse for both parties to load on spending that mm-hmm. wasn't an emergency. They've really quit doing that in mm-hmm. recent years. And so the money that's in there is by and large actual emergency and necessary money.
And just tell me before you go why it's being fought on the backs of alternative energy. I guess it's the Republicans in the House want to take it from the programs for developing electric cars and solar energy investments. Out of all the things the government does, why are they targeting alternative energy to pay for emergency FEMA money?
I think it's a sort of opportunistic moment, given all of the bad publicity that the Obama White House is getting over its $500 million federal loan guarantees to Solyndra, the
solar energy company, and that went bad.
So it's since that's sort of given a sort of bad odor to all these programs, and I think Republicans are therefore trying to not let this opportunity pass.
All right. Well, the opportunity for another moment of government shutdown, budget deadline theater, that opportunity is being seized, and I guess we'll have to follow it all week and see what happens by this apparent deadline on Friday. So New York Times national correspondent Jackie Combs, Karen Tumulty, Washington Post national political correspondent, thank you for shedding some light.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we do have Melissa Harris-Perry coming up next, who many of you know, if not from her appearances here, from her writing, from her work on MSNBC. We'll ask her if she thinks the Wall Street protests are the start of a national movement. And we will also talk mostly about her new book, which is about the politics of recognition. So stay tuned.